Hey, Reese, how you doing, bud? Let's get started this morning. Let's open up in a word of prayer. I'd like for Bev, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please, this morning? Alright, if you take your little booklet in the back of your pew there and turn to page number 25, page 25, let's sing Let There Be Love. Let's stand this morning and sing it. We'll sing through it twice.
Let there be love.
As we look at announcements, those who are interested in going to the marriage couples retreat to Tony Baptist Church puts on down at Pigeon Forge, March 7th through the 8th. There's a sign-up sheet, my left, your right. Please sign up and be looking for hotels and that kind of thing. Ladies' Prayer Advance on March 21 through 23. All these are coming up fairly quickly, and you might want to get registered. I know with the Tishonia Baptist Church, you just tell Pastor Kevin and Missy how many are going kind of thing, and they let Brother Mark know, and then you pay when you get down there. But the Ladies' Prayer Advance, you need to go on at ChristLifeMinistry.org and prepay to save yourself a lot of hassle at the door. And if you do it sooner than later, you might get a discount. Mother's Day Brunch. Ladies, we want to celebrate you. Join us Saturday, May 11th, 11 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall with Miss Rita Altizer, and she will be the guest speaker. All right, so please sign up. Is that sign up over here too? It is. All right, I didn't get a chance to see that one. That sign up is over here as well. Please sign up by May 5th to know all the goodies that need to be there and all that kind of stuff. All right, mark your calendars for Revival Week, March 31st through the 5th. There's an updated VBS thing there. If you put VBS on your calendar with some other dates other than this, there was a conflict there, so VBS needed to be changed. You please see those changes. There's another announcement not in your bulletin we need to bring before you. Brother West texted me this. Gentlemen, please spread the word. There's a family movie night plans for February 24th, 2024, at 6 p.m. down here in the Fellowship Hall. Bring snacks and that kind of good thing for a God-honoring movie and a family time. So that's February 24th, 6 p.m. down here if you're interested in a family movie night. I think that's all the announcements. Let's turn, if you will, hymn book number 272, hymn number 272. If you were sinking in quicksand today, the more you move, the quicker you would go down in that sand. And I don't know anybody that's ever gotten out of quicksand by themselves. And so it is with sin in our life that is a quicksand that we cannot get out of by ourselves. But there was a love. There was a Savior. That love and that Savior is enough to bring us up out of the muck and mire called sin. As we sing all three verses on the chorus, I know Pastor Kevin would like us to get our physical calisthenics in today. And we get to the verses, love lifted me. If you'd like to stand on your toes as you're kind of lifted as a physical way of getting your heartbeat. And young men, I'm not always going to be up here singing. So if any of you are musically inclined and you want to see me about how to lead music or how Pastor Kevin to see about how to lead music, we can get you started with waving how you need to wave and that kind of thing. It's a great calisthenic thing on Sunday morning.
I like to teach them and sing, man.
All right. Let's stand. Hymn number 272, verses 1 through 3.
Amen. You may be seated.
But love's burning in my thighs.
That's your workout.
Sorry, Brother Cameron, I didn't mean to have you replaced in the offering thing. They just kind of moved another guy in, another guy out. Yeah. I guess that means you'll be the song leader next week and you can be up here leading. No? No? Okay. There's another song that comes to mind. There's joy in serving Jesus. Joy. Joy. And sometimes we get in a week like I just had where things may not be so joyful, and you may have had one of those weeks yourself. But there's a love that can lift you, and there's a joy that can be in your heart, no matter what our circumstances might be without. Brother Billy, could you pray for our offering, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Privilege to be able to come before you now and to honor you with our substance. Father, you are the one who gives us all that we need. Father, we can give with a cheerful heart because you say that has a merry heart, has a continual feast. Father, thank you for the beauty in life. Thank you for the privilege in giving. And thank you, Father, for being able to give you what means the most to you, and that's our very life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. A missionary update. These are not just something that gets read just because they're sent to us. These are a way of keeping fresh in our mind that there are people that Mines Neck. See some Kalfies, some Zimmermans, others that are here. And how you move forward will reflect upon your family name. What job you take, what decisions you might take, whether you go to prison, don't go to prison. They all have a reflection upon your family. The choir is going to sing a song, Your Name. Speaking about God the Son and His name. Those of us who call ourselves Christian, those who believed in Jesus Christ shed blood and resurrection, you have a family name. How's that reflect when people see you? Listen to the words of this song, Your Name.
Save His name. Nothing has the power to save but His name. Well, this morning I'd like for you to take the Word of God this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've done this Wednesday night when I told him to be reading this all week or rest of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, if you turn there. And Lord willing, I'm going to preach a message called Activated this morning. And so if you would, listen to these ladies, they sing and ask God to speak to your heart this morning and receive what He has for you. in my office finishing things up yesterday morning early, and I got finished about probably around noon, and I had this overwhelming desire just to call a church meeting yesterday afternoon because I was ready to preach, and looking forward to today's message that God has for us. And most of you know that we've been talking about being filled with the Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit all the whole month of January, and then I haven't really been able to get away from it just yet. And I don't think God's finished with me on this subject, and I think it's exactly what we need for our church. I think it's exactly what we need to understand for revival. I think it's exactly what God has for us in this hour. And by the way, I think it's what God has for everyone. And we must understand this relationship and this indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we must not only recognize it, but we need to tap in on it. We need to be plugged into it. We need to be activated in this relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm glad to be able to preach a message this morning. Like I said, I'm entitling it Activated. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, but I want to talk about a few things before I get into this passage of Scripture. Being that this is Home Improvement Month, everything usually in the month of February is always about thinking on marriage and parenting and family and all these different things. But I want to talk about this as an intro into today's message. And I want us to take what we're going to learn today in God's Word. And by the way, don't listen for me to teach you this morning. Don't listen for me to be preaching to you this morning, but be listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and speak to your life this day. Because you know what? I can teach you nothing, but the Holy Spirit can teach us everything that we need to have. And if you're in here and you are a child of God this morning, you are a born again, if you are saved this morning, every one of us has the Holy Spirit in our lives to teach us the great depths of God. And so today we need to have our ears open, our eyes open. We need to have our hearts open to what God has for us. And so today as we look at this passage of Scripture, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about Ephesians chapter 5. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 5, we hear the words that we know when you get into Ephesians chapter 5, at the beginning of it, we are told to participate in the life, in life like God does. I mean, that's really what's encouraging us to do. And as Christians, we are to participate in life as God does, in our relationships with each other and in our own personal walk, in both our private life and our public lives. And not only your life here this morning as a public service here at First Baptist Church, but also in your private life tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning and Friday morning and Saturday morning. Also in your public life as you go out into the workforce, as you go out into the public areas, we are to worship God. We are to live like God does in our private and public lives. The verse that unlocks the whole passage of Ephesians chapter 5 is the verse in verse number 18 where it says, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." It unlocks everything about that chapter and what we're about to hear about after you go past Ephesians chapter 5. And then Ephesians chapter 5, or past verse number 18 in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, verses 21 through chapter 6 and verse number 4, we are given valuable information. And I want you to catch on to that word information this morning, because we're going to talk a little bit more about that in 2 Corinthians. But we are given valuable information for ultimate function of the Spirit-filled home. Amen? As we look at that and as we see that, we're to be filled and we see we're given this value. How many of you want a Spirit-filled home? And so we are giving valuable information. We're giving this is what it looks like. This is how we're to interact in this Spirit-filled home. Verse number 21 unlocks the whole design of the family, where it says, submitting yourselves one to another. That isn't where it stops at. It goes on to say, in the fear of God. in the fear of God. So we must first submit to God's orchestrated plan for our marriage, our family, our home, our children. We must submit to those things what God has. By the way, you'll find it a very easy passage to follow if we first understand that we must submit to the Lord. We must say, Lord, whatever you would have, I agree. I want to take it and for my life. By the way, that's all part of being filled with the Spirit. Submit simply means this, to accept or yield to a superior force or the authority or will of another person. You will not be able to do what is called for in Ephesians chapter 5 in your home, in your family, in the relationships that we're involved in life. You will not be able to live it out without, first of all, submitting to the Lord, submitting to His superior force, submitting to His authority, submitting to His will for your life. It will not happen. It will not work. You will stumble. You will quit. You will not like it. But I want to tell you, if we'll submit to the Lord first, it can become the desire of our heart to have what God would have for us. And by the way, what God has for us, hey, He makes all things beautiful in His time. How many of you know that it takes some time for things to get beautiful? And if we'll start submitting to what God has for us, He can turn a mess into a miracle. And by the way, I'm thankful that He is in the miracle working business. And I'm thankful that He does it time and time again. Now, in the following verses, we are told that by being filled with the Spirit, wives are to submit to their husbands and respect them as they submit to the Lord. We're told husbands are to love their wives as Christ has loved us, or as Christ has loved the church enough that He gave His life for the church. And by the way, I can remember reading that and thinking, you know what? I would die for her. I would give my life for her. I would jump in front of a bullet for her. But you know what? It goes deeper than that. That means, you know what? I'm willing to give up my life, my preferences, my wants, my desires, my what I think is living's all about. I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to sacrifice my time, sacrifice my desires for what she wants. It goes a lot deeper than that. It goes deeper than, it keeps on going and going. You give up your life for your wife. Love her as Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. Also, fathers are told to be a godly example to their children, fulfilling their responsibilities in chapter 6, the beginning part of that. Now, and children are told in this passage of Scripture also to obey their parents and to honor their parents in the Lord. I mean, can we not see that the whole sum of everything in these verses is that we must submit to the Lord. We must understand that we are told to be filled with the Spirit. And from the husband to the wife, from the father to the mother, to the children, to down, all the way down. It even goes on beyond that and deals with our employers and our employees. It goes with all the relationships in life and says, this is what works and this is what is God-honoring. This is what a Spirit-filled life looks like. It says, be filled with the Spirit. You know what? How many of us would like to have a marriage, a family, a home filled with love, filled with joy? By the way, joy comes from the inside out. Happiness depends on happenings on the outside, and it comes to you. But joy is something that you can't hardly put it into words. How many of us would like to have a home that has peace? I'm thankful that when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that He gave me peace. I'm thankful to have peace in my life. How many would like for us to have a home that there is forbearance or a controlling of oneself when they are reproved or controlling of oneself when they are offended? I mean, I'm sure that my wife would like that in our home and I would like that in our home. I mean, who wouldn't want that? How many would like for us to have kindness in our home? You know, a good lesson for a lot of people to learn today is probably a lot of us husbands is just be kind. Just be kind. It'd go a long ways. Also, goodness. I mean, man, we want goodness in our home. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you would want a home that has these things in it? Amen. Come on. Y'all awake this morning? Amen. Yeah. We would want to have, I mean, that's a beautiful looking home. That's something to be desired. Well, you can have it. You can have a home filled with these desired qualities, but it will only be possible by being filled with the Spirit, for these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's go back to the text, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, and I want to read the text here. In verse number 9, it says, "But as it is written..." By the way, I know we had young people in here this morning, and don't you think for a moment, young people, that I am preaching over your head this morning. Exactly what we need to hear today, that I need, that the adults, that the parents, and the other ones need to hear, is every young person in this place needs to understand this. So I encourage you, from the youngest in this room this morning, that you pay close attention to your pastor this morning as he preaches God's Word, because these are the things that will make all the difference in your life. It will make all the difference in your walk with Jesus Christ. By the way, we are not, and by young people, I want you to know, I want you to know it, I want you to understand this. We are not to be satisfied. We are not to be pleased just on entry-level Christianity. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, we have this idea, some people do, that, you know what, I'm saved, I am on my way to heaven, and that's all I want, that's all I need. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has much more for our lives. Jesus Christ has much more than just being idle and just being a spectator. He has much more for us. So I want you young people to pay attention, in spite of maybe some of the examples that you might have seen in your life. I want you to pay close attention this morning, because this is all about the much more. This is all about stepping out and growing in the grace of God, growing in the things that God has for us. It will only happen the way that it's going to be described to this morning. Now, verse number 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Amen. That ought to make a shout right there. And in verse number 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto we were not able to bear it, neither yet now are we able. For we are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strifes and divisions, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" I mean, it's a very sad place for a Christian to be walking as if he had never been saved. Brother Billy, would you stand and pray for me as I preach this morning? Amen. Now, we have established the word and from the Word of God that every Christian has the anointing or the indwelling Holy Spirit last month. And God has turned everything into history over to His Son. And it is only by you bringing glory to the Son that the Spirit is activated. Jesus Christ privately and publicly must be exalted in a Christian's life. It can't be one or the other. It's privately and publicly. Now, give the filling, we all ought to give the filling of the Holy Spirit a chance. I mean, we read about it. I mean, how many of you, you know, you read it time and time again, be ye filled with the Spirit. But yet maybe we'd never come to the place that we have ever got in on that. And we thought, oh, that's a nice thinking. It's a nice thought. Or maybe I'd have no idea how to be. I've even caught myself praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. But we are given a command here to do something, to be filled. And so we know that we must be filled. To be filled with the Spirit, we must take some things in our own strength, in our own way, and put them into our life. We know that we ought to put the Word before the face of the Holy Spirit in our lives and receive information from the Holy Spirit to our hearts that it may not that it may transform our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit does work on earth and on the behalf of the Godhead in heaven. Now, in the Old Testament, God the Father was the go-to person. In the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the go-to person is Jesus Christ. But God, the Holy Spirit, is the go-to person doing what we call the church age, where we are living at today. The Holy Spirit is the one who has been assigned to act on the Father and the Son's behalf in history. The Father functions from the third heaven. The Son sits at the right hand of the Father to rule spiritually in heaven to earth. And the Son does that through the Holy Spirit. He said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I don't go away, I won't be able to send you a comforter. But if I go away, I'm sending you someone. And it was the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20 says this, but ye have an unction. In other words, ye have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Amen. How many of you know that your thought things, your mind, what you know was opened up the day that you received Jesus Christ? Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad you're getting in where we're getting in here today. I want to tell you, this will accelerate your life. Now that you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, now you can know all things. You can know the deep thoughts of God. And you know what? We just got to plug into it and take it and apply it to our lives. And that we can have all that God would have for us. Now, so we all who are saved have an unction or an anointing. This unction is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit working in a person's life. We must know what this anointing is and how to use it in our lives so that we can benefit from it. Now, the job of anointing or the job of the Holy Spirit in our life is to bring to light in our lives God's messaging. God's messaging for us. Bring it from there to here. And so the Holy Spirit gives us information from heaven for our operation here and now, for our lives. Now, if you don't know, if you don't know you have it or you don't know how to use it, you won't benefit from it even though you possess it. And so the whole thing about this whole series of messages is that we'll come to the place that we know how to use it. We possess it. We have it. We own it. It's in our life. But are we using it? Are we tapped into it? Has it been activated in our lives? And so we see here that today that we're going to go a little bit deeper into some things. And I want you to grab a hold and understand what we're going to be talking about. Now, if you don't know, may I encourage you today not to be satisfied with just entry-level Christianity. Can I? Can I encourage you? How about this side? Can I have a big yes? If you Can I encourage you not to be satisfied with entry-level Christianity? How about us that over here? Can I encourage you not to be satisfied with entry-level Christianity? All right, so we're not going to be satisfied. If you happen to be there or if you're not there this morning, we're never going to be satisfied. We don't want to be satisfied with that. So we're going to see how to step out, how to move forward, how to grow. How to grow. You know, we know that we ought to grow. We know that we ought to disciple and be discipled. But very few people grow the way that we're supposed to grow. And we're going to find the secrets to it today in this message. Now, I want to review real quickly, and then I'm getting right into this. Now, we have established some things about how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit works in the Holy Spirit when we become Christians, right? Follow me again, you'll remember this. When we become Christians, enters our human spirit. Indwelling, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit was given to you to give you a capacity to communicate with God. Your spirit that has been now infiltrated by the Holy Spirit is inside your soul. Your soul is your emotion, your intellect, your will, your self-identity. If you lose your soul, the body doesn't function because the soul is what expresses life. Now, the Holy Spirit enters the human spirit, making it alive unto God. The human spirit exists in the soul so that the soul can get information from the human spirit that's been anointed by the Holy Spirit that feeds the human spirit information that is distributed to the soul. When the soul gets the information from the human spirit that has been illuminated by the Holy Spirit, the soul feeds the data to the body, and the body acts differently. The body functions differently because it has new information that has been entered. I remember saying, remember that word information. Remember that word information. Now, the reason why we have problems with our body is because we have infection in our soul. The reason our body acts out things and does things that we ought not do or it doesn't do what's the best thing to do is because we have infection in our soul. We have human spirit that has been contaminated by sin. But when the Holy Spirit, when a person accepts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit that is perfect indwells the human spirit. It is now perfect because the Holy Spirit is perfect. That's when God looks at us, when we've been saved and the God the Father sees us, He sees us through the blood of Christ because we have received the Holy Spirit is indwelling our spirit. Now, the anointing flows from the perfect source, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I'm glad it has a perfect source. No flaws in this source. As the soul receives information from the Spirit that has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, healing begins then on to the begins in the soul and then on to the body, our actions and deeds. Now, in light of that information, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verses 9 through 10, we read, "But as it is written, Eve have not has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, when the indwelling of the anointing is fully activated, you get to see things that the eye cannot see. Hear things the ear doesn't normally hear, and you get to think things you wouldn't normally think. The anointing is taking you beyond the physical into a spiritual reality. And the physical is experiencing it outside its normal realm of things. You know what? If you're limited to your five senses, you will not receive a divine messaging. Because even though you are a Christian, the activation switches off. Let me ask you, let me just describe something just for a moment. When a person accepts Christ as a personal Savior, how many of you in here are saved again? I just did a testimony. Raise your hand up high and wave it at me if you know Christ is your Savior this morning. Okay, amen. So whenever you receive Christ as your Savior, there's a switch that comes on. There's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the light comes on. But the thing is, you know what? It burns, and it's there, and it's not really that bright. But as we desire to continue to grow in the Lord and be filled with the Spirit, something begins to happen. See, this is entry level. Entry level. Where's the lights? There we go. Entry level Christianity. But you know what? If we'll activate it, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have His way, if we'll turn the dimmer switch. Well, that's okay. I messed up. I had to wait. Okay, it's activated. But if we'll turn the dimmer switch up all the way, we can burn bright for Jesus. We can burn bright for Him in our lives. We must be activated. We must be fully activated. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. That's how we are to live as Christians. In verse number 10, we see these words. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, the Spirit has a search engine. Maybe you will understand it better this way. The Spirit Googles God. Or can we say the Spirit goggles? Goggles. We see that the Spirit searches. By the way, anybody in here ever went to the internet and searched for information they did not know so they could take it and apply it and have it? I finished rebuilding two carburetors on my motorcycle. And I went to Google. And I piped in 2006 V-Star 1200 carburetor rebuild. Yeah, and I went to YouTube. Now, I know most mechanics say you better stay away from that. By the way, I did have to get Rusty help me get a screw or two out of it. I stripped out. But other than that, I got the information I needed, you know. And so I went in there, I rebuilt it. And by the way, I put it all back together and started up. I wrote it the other day. It actually worked. I can't believe it. But I Googled something to get information that I didn't know. But, hey, it says that the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God for you, for your family, for your marriage. God searches the Holy Spirit searches those deep things. And then know what He does? He searches those deep things and He brings that information back to you. He will cause you to see things you could not see in your home. He'll call you to see things you could never have seen in your life. He'll cause you to see things in your children you would have never seen. He will cause you to hear things that you'd never hear. By the way, it's okay to hear voices. Nothing wrong with it. I love hearing the voice of God. Yes, Lord. Some other kind of voices you've got to worry about. And He'll cause you to think thoughts you would have never thought. Because He searches the deep things. I think it's way past time that Christians get out of the kiddie pool and jump in the deep end of the pool and grow up in Christ and go forward for the glory of God, being filled with the Spirit and seeing the benefit that that has in our lives, on our children, on our spouses. And just, I want to tell you, it would be an amazing thing. And by the way, it'd have a great effect on the churches. And there ain't nothing I read about the Holy Spirit. Ain't nothing I read about the work of God that is dead and dried up. Our God is a progressive God. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a triumphant God. Man, we just read a missionary letter from our... And by the way, I met that missionary getting ready to get on a plane in India. It just happened to come across our path. And Brother Ron knew him. And he was going to a place where they actually sacrificed their children and throw them into the river to please their gods. And you know what? He went over there and he witnessed the people. And I got a report about one lady that we witnessed to that day. And he led her to the Lord. And you know what she screamed out? She said, "If you'd have only been here 5 minutes earlier." Because she just threw her child in there. There's a place over there where they are taking the lives of Christians. I was asked to go back to that particular area in March, but didn't work out. But Brother Ron is going back. Be praying for them. It's a dangerous time in that place. Let me tell you, the safest place for anyone to be is being the will of God for their life. This is the kind of God that we serve. These are the deep things that the Holy Spirit searches in the mind of God. And He relays that information back to us in our lives. And it shows us the things that normally can't be seen, normally can't be heard, thoughts that normally wouldn't be thought. Oh, my. Verse number 11 says, "The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." The Spirit can go deep into the thinking of God, and the job is to transfer God's thoughts to our lives. How many of you today has allowed the Holy Spirit to transfer God's information to your life? You know what? We have the World Wide Web, but Christians have exposed to them the knowledge of God by the indwelling Holy Spirit. I mean, you go to the World Wide Web, you can find which answers to whatever you want. You can find anything about that you want to look at, what you want to hear. You can go. I mean, it's crazy. And you know what? The bad thing about it, many Christians are more impressed with the World Wide Web than they are with the indwelling Holy Spirit and being filled. Wow, look at what man has put together. Let me tell you something. There's something greater that can't hold a drop in the bucket that will allow us to know the very thoughts of God towards our lives. Oh. The job of the Spirit is to reach deep into the mind of God and to transfer information to the eyes, ears, and the hearts of the believer. The Holy Spirit takes truth and makes it your experience, makes it your reality. Not just for information, but for transformation. Transformation. Verse number 12, look at what it says. Look what it says. Take it, Lord God. Look at the Word of God. Put the Word of God before the eyes of the Holy Spirit in your life and look at it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given. Praise God! We don't have to pay no internet bill. We don't have to pay no phone bill. We don't have to buy data. These things have been freely given to the Christian. Every last part of it. Everybody in this room that is a Christian, that has Jesus Christ, has the indwelling Holy Spirit living inside of them, has this freely given to them. Man, I think of verses, when I think about that, I think of verses with God, there's nothing shall be impossible. I will overcome. Hey, yes, there's a battle. There's things in my life that go on. There's struggles that I have. But you know what? I go back, and I've said it. I'll say it at probably every service. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't have to live defeated. I don't have to live beat down. I don't have to live without any joy. I don't have to live bitter. I don't have to live critical. Because greater is He that is in me than is in the world. Oh, and it's freely given. Remember Simon as he came up there and said, "Hey, can I buy it? Can I buy it?" And then what was it Peter said to him? "I perceive there's wickedness in your heart." In other words, he's saying, you can't buy what this is. This is present whenever the indwelling, the anointing has come to our lives. This is something that you cannot buy, but it will be freely given to you. By the way, you know, for something to be free, you got to take hold of it. Got to get in it. I mean, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. It ain't like you're going to have to work for it, so to speak. It's going to be freely given to you. You don't have to beg God and say, "God, zoom me, boom, fill me." Hey, just take it. It's there. Hey, get in God's Word. Fall in love with God's Word. Hey, not only go to God's Word looking for information, but look for transformation. Don't only look so you may know all these things or try to prove things. Hey, go in God's Word as an open book. Go before the mirror of God's Word and let it transform your life. Hey, be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to the house of God. Be in a place where we come together and we learn of the Lord and we expect the Holy Spirit to teach us something in our congregation and together as a family. Instill that into your family. Hey, be a faithful witness to tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, don't be in such a hurry to speak idle words, but speak words that are truth, words that matter. Hey, speak life into people, not death. Oh, I'm going to tell you, He has so much for us. We have so much that we can take and we can put into our life. Hey, put good Christian music in it. Hey, some of you in here, I know you might like to listen to your country music. You might like to listen to your rock and roll music. You say, "Oh man, he's going to go there." You say, "Oh no, I'm fuddy duddy. I'm going to talk about music." Hey, I want to tell you, being filled with the Spirit is putting in spiritual songs, hymns, godly songs. By the way, those songs are not going to do anything for you like what God's songs will do for you. By the way, you say, "Well, you know, I just listen to country music stars that are Christians and they sing about God." Okay, I've come to the conclusion of this, and like I said, I like the sound of country music. I do. I like it. But you know, here's the problem with that. If you're depending on Christian music for your spirituality, this is what country music for your spirituality. If you listen to them, you know what they're doing? Instead of people being filled with the Spirit of God and living and acting and moving as the Spirit would have us to move in this life, they taught Christians to straddle the fence. "Oh, I'll mention God. I'll mention how fun is Sunday, but I'm going to talk about also playing ball on Sunday evening. I ain't going to talk about anything else about God the rest of the week, but I'll be in church on Sunday." It'll teach you to have one foot in the world and one foot in your Christianity. It'll have you satisfied with just being right there in the entry level and just listening to, "Oh, yeah, man, I remember it was a good old time back then." Sort of like seemed like it might have been a little bit easier then, and maybe a little bit lighter. I don't know why that wasn't even part of my sermon today, but some of us young people and older people needed to understand that. Verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." It says, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. You know what? You don't get this from secular understanding. You don't get it. You don't get this from the popular viewpoint, what's being taught here. Oh, secular understanding, they'll say some things that are maybe positive thinking or motivational thinking and all these different. Hey, you do not get this from secular understanding. You don't get it from a popular viewpoint. And I've said it before. I know Brother Billy, he agreed with me 100% on this. Hey, Christianity is nothing like the American dream. We've compared our Christianity to the American dream, and we make the pursuit of both look the same. Christianity is something far superior and great and much better than the American dream. We've raised our children to strive after, to reach after, to achieve the American. Hey, I want to tell you what we ought to be raising our children to do is to be filled with the Spirit, to be activated by the Holy indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their life, and then they can impact and make a difference in this world. When we introduce human wisdom, we turn down the dimmer switch. Huh. Person gets saved, man. On fire for God, surrendered to God. But next thing you know what? Well, somebody said, I'm just a little bit overboard with this God thing. Oh, really? That's not what the Bible really means. So-and-so said, God couldn't have really meant that. Some professor in a college could. Oh, they... By the way, it's a very serious and it's a very scary thing to send your child to a secular educational, higher education system. You know what secular means? Without God. They'll try to teach him he's not real. Everything that you've tried to implant in those kids their whole entire life, they'll try to tear it down in 4 years. This is not achieved by secular wisdom. By the way, I might be preaching on this tonight, 1 John chapter 2, it talks about we have no need of man to teach us. And what that's saying is the Holy Spirit will teach us what we need to know. But what it's saying, there was a spirit of Antichrist. There were people that saying that Christ, He was not the Lord. Christ, He was not, Jesus Christ was not who He said He was. They were trying to take God, Him out of the whole equation of things. And it says, you need no man. And what He's talking about, you need no secular teacher to teach you about God. It says the Holy Spirit will teach you. And I want to tell you, I'll just throw it out there one more thing. You know what? You need to be careful who you go to that's called a psychiatrist. I don't even recommend anybody go to a secular psychiatrist. You better go to one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and has the indwelling Holy Spirit that has taught them the deep things of God that deals with the mankind and what makes man tick and and by the way, a lot of our mental things are in our lives because we don't know God. We don't have anyone. We never stepped into it and have not been taught about the deep things of God. I'll get back down just in a second. Romans chapter 3, 4 says this, let God be true and every man a liar. See, when secular wisdom comes, the dimmer switch goes down. It's introduced. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things, verse 13, the second part of that. So the Spirit of God dives deep into the mind of God, and He brings into the spirit of man that which he cannot see physically, he cannot hear audibly, and he can never think naturally. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This is simply this. Simply put is the unsaved person does not have the anointing. It does not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And you're saying, well, I don't know. The unsaved person does not understand anything that's being talked about here this morning. There's nothing there they can wrap their mind around. It says, you know what? That natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. By the way, it's past times that Christians quit saying, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. You better judge some things. You better be discerning about some things, about your family, about your home. You better be scrutinized some things, because it says right here, it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That means him that is spiritual just doesn't go through life. Oh, yeah, come what may. Oh, that's not that big a deal. Oh, that's not important. Oh, that isn't going to affect anything. Oh, I don't care. Oh, that preacher, he's crazy. Look at them things he say. Oh, man, he's just gone too far. No. It says a spiritual man judges all things. It says, in other words, he says, you know what? He looks at things for what they are. And by the way, the man mentioned here is human being. Ladies, you're not off the hook. It's talking about men and women. Okay? It's talking about the human race. And we are to be discerning. We are to scrutinize. Hey, by the way, Dad, man, you really... You have an awesome responsibility. You're to be the spiritual leader of your home. Don't depend on your wife for your spirituality. Be a spiritual man and judge all things. Look at things for what they are. See things that you might be questionable about your kids getting involved in and think your kids doing some things. Oh, it might not be that bad, not that big a deal. Hey, be discerning. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. How many of us know there is a wicked world out there? How many know that this wicked world can also be very attractive? Disguised in beauty, by the way. Satan himself is a very beautiful being. Hey, young people, don't get this idea that Satan's somebody with a pitchfork and a tail and he's red. Satan is somebody that in this room everybody would want to be like, look like, and probably act like. He's a deceiver. Oh, he's not quite as notable as being bad and evil as you would think he was. He looks very enticing. And everything he does to try to wreck and ruin your life, you're going to think, man. But like, no, hey, young people, this is something you need. You need to be spiritual. You need to be discerning. You need to judge all things. You know what? There might come a time where someday some person comes up to you and you know, they might offer you drugs for the first time. Ethan, I know you can understand me. You know what you need to do if that ever happens? You need to know you raised your hand that you knew Christ as your Savior. So you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. I guarantee you, when somebody offers you those drugs, there's going to be something inside you that says, you know, you don't want to mess with that. You don't want to have that first drink of alcohol. There's somebody who's going to be inside, and it's going to say, you know, you need to judge that situation. By the way, you need to judge that friend that would offer you that too. You need to be discerning what a real friend really would be. A real friend wouldn't ask you to do something like that. It's going to wreck your life, ruin your life. The spiritual person judges all things. Verse 16, watch this. You don't want to miss this. Watch it. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we have spiritual words, when we have spiritual thoughts, we have the mind of Christ. Do you know what it means to have the mind of Christ, church? Do you know what it means, Christian? Do you know what it means, young person? Do you know what it means, older person today? Do you know what it means? It means that Jesus is thinking His thoughts in your brain by means of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! We have the mind of Christ. Man, whenever we activate the Holy Spirit, when we begin to listen as the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, He Googles God and He finds out those things. He transfers that information to us. We take that information into our lives. We activate these things and we take all that He has for us. And you know what? That person who is taking it all in, that person is being filled with the Spirit of God. That person actually has Christ thinking His thoughts in his brain, and we have the mind of Christ. Do we have the mind of Christ, church? Amen. I want to tell you, you have the mind of Christ in your family. It is an amazing thing that could happen. Well, I'll tell you what's going to be crazy. If you have the mind of Christ, Tanya has the mind of Christ, Carter has the mind of Christ, and Allie has the mind of Christ. Bless God, if Tucker ever get to that place. I'm just telling you, that dimmer switch in that home. I mean, each individual can have it themselves, but man, when everybody would come together in that home, you know, Carter, do you realize you have a responsibility in your home? Yeah. Your responsibility is to be filled with the Spirit. And all the rest of the stuff will take care of everything else. I mean, we're always worried about doing what's right, but if you be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what's right. He's going to tell you what He has planned for you. And He's going to tell you how to treat your parents. And He's going to tell you how to grow up and to be the kind of man that I want you to be and your parents want God wants you to be. I mean, they're going to bring it all together. And you know what? You're not going to be fighting against it. By the way, it's a struggle. Man, my mom and dad wanted more from me than what I wanted. That's why I fought it for so long, man. I ran from it. I mean, I tell you, the greatest thing in the world is being activated. Allie, man, you got a future. You got a beautiful future. But you have a responsibility in your home. Just as your mom and dad have a responsibility to raise you to love God with all their heart, they have a responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. You have a responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. I still remember the day that you made that phone call. Missy, Pastor Kevin, I just got saved. I was there when you were born. I was there in the hospital and seen you. I could have had much more joy than if it was my own. By the way, y'all be praying for Brazen. She's asking a whole lot of questions now. Keep me on my toes, but I believe God's dealing with her heart already at 4 years old. Everybody in this family here has a responsibility. Around everybody. Both people in that marriage right there has a responsibility. Hey, grandparents have a responsibility too. Praise God, I got another one coming in a couple weeks. There's a responsibility in that relationship right there. You have a responsibility, Lee, before God. Thank God He saved your soul. But He didn't save you just for you to stay where you're at. He saved you to activate. Eddie? I know. What you're going through right now ain't what I desire for you and ain't what you desire for yourself. But you know what? You have a responsibility in that situation. Be filled with the Spirit. Be activated. You don't realize how much of an answer to impact that you have on all of us and everyone that comes in your path. Barb, been a rough couple years. A lot of things have happened. A lot of things we want to go through. But aren't you thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that's brought you through that? And here on the other side of losing people we love back to back, and you got a smile on your face this morning. What could do that? What could bring you joy after that? What would make it possible? The indwelling Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. Oh, I could go on and on. I'm going to stop there this morning. I wanted to go on with the other three verses there. Come back tonight. Come back tonight. We talked about the natural man. We talked about the spiritual man. Tonight we'll talk about the carnal Christian. By the way, I just put this note here on this. It had been 5 years since Paul had come and he led these people to the Lord here in Corinth. Now it's in this book of 1 Corinthians, he's writing back to them 5 years later. And he's telling them that you have not growed. He said, I had to give you milk and I still got to give you milk. I can't give you meat. By the way, folks, we have gotten into the meat this morning. Said, because you're carnal, you're fleshly. In other words, he was telling him, you have wasted 5 years of growth. You just like went into an amusement park. Like you just walked in the entry of it and you sit there and you looked at it and you seen all the big old rides and all the fun that you can have. Anybody ever walked in the King's Dominion down there and go on all them rides? And you see how, man, it's like, whoa, I mean, I'm like a kid in a candy store when I walk in. I'm like, yeah, man, let's go get the biggest and the baddest. But you know what? It does me no good to sit right there and stay right. I mean, I paid my way in. I walked inside to enter that thing, and all I'm doing is standing around looking at everybody else having fun. Anybody? Well, I don't want you to raise your hand. But anybody, if you're in here and you think the Christian life's not fun, I'm telling you what, I never had fun before. Compared to what I have now. My fun, man, it comes from deep down. It comes from deep down, man. It comes from the inside out, man. Oh, I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like being activated. You know, it's important to be a sponge. But it's good for the sponge to be wrung out every once in a while. I mean, the purpose of filling a sponge with water when you're washing something is you get all that water in there and then you wash with it. You use it to accomplish something. Don't let it all be about information, but may it be about transformation. Everybody, Lily, you understand why I was talking about this morning, didn't you? I mean, well, you know what? Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Don't ever forget the day that you heard this. Every head bowed this morning. Man, I tell you what, the Lord's just been dealing with me. He deals with me so much. I'm preaching this morning and every morning, and I just love it. He's good. But you know what? There may be somebody in this room today that does not know Christ as a personal Savior. If you die today, I mean, you don't. You have no idea what, you've never experienced what this preacher was talking about this morning. You've never been a time that you've called upon the name of the Lord and you've asked Him to come into your life, be your Lord and Savior, forgive your sins. I mean, you know that He doesn't live inside of you. But you're saying this morning, Pastor Kevin, I know that's me. I am lost. Truth of the matter is, I do not have that indwelling Holy Spirit. And I am lost, and I'm on my way to hell, and I'm concerned about my soul, though. I'm tired of living life this. I'm tired of living life without Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the deep things of God for my life. Is that you this morning? Could you raise up your hand and say, Pastor Kevin, pray for me. I am concerned about my soul and where I would spend eternity. I see no hands this morning. So it's saying maybe the majority, almost everybody here today, know Christ as their Savior. But let me ask you this. Are you here today and you're a Christian, but the dimmer switch is on low? See that hand? See that hand? If that's you this morning, could you raise your hand and just be honest? My dimmer switch is low. Amen. Hands all over. You know, I got great news for you. Just turn it up. Just turn it up. Let's have a word of prayer, and I want to pray for those who raised their hand this morning. And if you're a Christian this morning, you're thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and what has brought to your life. Hey, praise Him, thank Him for it. And let's just go out of here today full of the Lord and what He has for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You and praise You today for Your goodness to us. Thank You for loving us and caring for us, Lord. Thank You for this message. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. It's alive, God. It is transforming. It's amazing, dear God. It's exciting to get in that book and Lord, to see what You have for us, dear God. You have given us a perfect design, and Lord, you've shown us things. Lord, you show us how Your operations is in our life. And Lord, I'm thankful, dear God, that You are involved with us. You just don't just leave us dangling and hanging and barring out time. God, You are so much more than we can probably even imagine. But Lord, we can know Your thoughts. Lord, we can see what You'd have us to see. God, we can hear what You'd have us to hear. And God, may we just go forward, dear God, and be what You want us to be. May we be progressive with You in our lives. Lord, may we grow in Your knowledge. And may we grow in Your grace, dear God. May we become, reach the full potential that You have for us, Lord. Not there, not the things that may come, Lord, after in eternity, but the right here and the now, dear God, what You have planned for our lives. And God, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all. God, I pray for those ones who raised their hand and said, I'm not filled with the Spirit. It's not fully activated. My dimmer switch is low. God, I pray that something was said this morning, dear God, that will stir them in their heart. I pray it wasn't the words of the pastor this morning, but I pray it was the very words of You this morning, dear God, that reached down and pinpointed some things in their life. And God, I pray, dear God, that that information will be taken, Lord, and the transformation will begin. Lord, may we be filled with the Spirit of God. May we desire it. Lord, that's what we've got to do. We just got to desire that, God, and You will do that. And Lord, we just thank You for that. God, I pray that You'll be with us this afternoon. Lord, bring us back to this place at the appointed time this evening, dear God, at 6 o'clock. And God, continue to work in our presence. Lord, I thank You, dear God, for the Spirit being in the house of God this morning. Lord, I thank You for, Lord, the Spirit of revival that's been, just seems like it's just keeps stirring and stirring and stirring. God, I pray that You'll just continue to work in our hearts, dear God, and may we grow up in Christ. And we'll give You the praise and glory for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.